your host, Eric Hollerbach, with me on Skype video, or you can just, you know, get this podcast how you normally do on the audio, is Ole Demigard. This is Highway Diary, episode 296. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, good, good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for doing this for the second time you were on my podcast. The first time we did, went a lot into the Kobe Bryant ritual. You can get everything on lightonconspiracies.com. There's tons of interviews. You have thousands of interviews up there. And just when I listen to your interviews and when I, you know, it's just the attention to detail is unbelievable. And you follow these little clues, these little breadcrumbs that are left for us by our overlords. Can you describe what I'm talking about?
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, my last name has actually become the verb to Demigard, or hashtag Demigarding, is to find these breadcrumbs. So the thing is, it's not because I'm super intelligent or you know, got a crystal ball. The thing was that in the fall of 2014, I've been down this road for almost 40 years now, but the last 10, 15 years, I specialized in false flag operations, so-called false flag operations. And there was this anonymous source that contacted me, and he said, yeah, I've been following you for years. What you're doing is great, but you're missing out on the clues. And I was like, what do you mean, clues? And he said, they always leave clues in forensic evidence, hidden clues in the forensic evidence. And this was an insider that was contacting me. So I was like, but that sounds absolutely bizarre. Why on earth would they do such a stupid thing? And he said, the people that are behind these operations have done so much mayhem in the world, and they are so afraid of the law of karma that they do it totally for their own selfish purpose. Because the way they interpreted it, if they show us what they're going to do and we don't react, then we indirectly consent, and then the bad karma comes on our shoulders, not theirs. And in addition, what he said was that if they show us, even in subtle ways, we do not react, and then they manage to pull it off, it even adds good karma on their behalf. So I was like, I felt that is just so upside down, twisted, weird. So I didn't really put a lot of emphasis on it because I didn't know, I still don't know who this individual was. But I kept it in the back of my mind. And then in the beginning of 2015, I started seeing things that were, there were four different attacks that was coordinated or was in, yeah, I found clues that was pointing to four of them. And two of them went down. It was there was an alleged ISIS attack outside a power plant in Dublin, Ireland, and Charlie Hebdo shooting in Paris. And that was the first time I thought, oh my God, maybe this guy was onto something. Maybe he actually told me the truth. And so I really started looking into the Charlie Hebdo evidence, and I got these pointers towards Copenhagen. And because for them to be able to carry out these operations, they always need a drill. There's always a drill before a so-called mass shooting goes down or a false flag terror attack goes down. Always the drill, because the drill is there for them to prepare, to get time to rehearse, get rid of normal people in the area, get smoke bombs, crisis actors, catering services, makeup facilities, everything in position. Rehearse, even record some of the things that will then be blended with live footage saying this is what is actually happening right now, live from downtown Dallas. Absolutely not. It was from the drill and mixed with live footage. That is why I want to say you never need to fear for a terror attack on a rainy day, because they never happen, because they need the sky to be consistent for more than one day in a row, because then they need to mix, because they want to be able to mix the footage from the drill and then with live footage so that we don't notice. But sometimes if you're someone like a geek like myself who looks at the shadows, the angle of the shadows and the clouds in the background, you will see, whoop, there's a cloud and there's not. The cloud is just gone. This is when they mix it. Anyway, so the drill is always there. And so I found these clues, and they were pointing towards Copenhagen, central Copenhagen, near a specific train station on the 14th of January, 2015. And I thought, I don't know, maybe I'm gonna look like an absolute ass, but I'm gonna do it. So I went out on some big shows in the US saying, please, please be aware, this is what I've been informed about. These are the signs I found that could be confirming what he said, and if so, this would be the place that it would happen. And then I also contacted people in central Copenhagen saying, please, is there by any chance a drill on this date? And they sent back a big poster of tonight at your, for your protection, we are doing this security drill at that specific train station. I was like, oh my God, this is so spot on. And so I went out big time, pumped it out. And then in the evening according to what I found that it would go down, absolute zero happened. So I felt, okay, fine. I was totally wrong. I looked like an idiot, not the first time, you know, but at least I did what I could. Nobody got hurt and so on. So I thought I was wrong. And then exactly 1 month later, on the date, on the hour, boom, it went down on the 14th of February instead, which is Halloween, no, sorry, Valentine's Day, which is also one of, they always love these ritualistic dates, you know, like Halloween, Valentine's, Memorial Day, Veterans Day, all of them on a deeper level connected to death, Valentine's, and these are really, really dark things that we're indirectly celebrating without knowing what they are.
And it's just, it adds to their branding. The Valentine's Day shooting in Copenhagen. We'll never forget this. Wow, you know?
Yeah. No, and that's only one. I mean, they repeated it. But Valentine's, it was from the old Romans, and they killed several people on that day with the name of Valentine. It was murder. And also, they were very bizarre. It was actually William Shakespeare that made it into a romantic thing. And then, you know, like Hallmark and all these people. So, oh my God, we can make some billions here, sell roses and cards, and boom, suddenly it was a romantic thing. But it's all based on assassinations or very dark satanic rituals. So that was the time when I started seeing, because Copenhagen was 2015 was the first that I thought, oh my God, I'm onto something here. He was actually correct. Had he not contacted me, I would never, ever have reflected. You know, I wouldn't have figured it out in a million years. I wouldn't even know that it was there. But after that, I started, as soon as something happened, or as soon as I find clues, I don't look at the official story at all. I don't look at the official blah, blah, blah. I'm looking for the clues. Where are the clues? Where are the clues? And up to date, if I've been correct in every single one, many of them have been confirmed, but if I've been correct in every single one that I pointed out, it's 61 now that I pointed out, up to 2 months before they actually went down. So, and this has this is one of the things that I'm trying to share with as many as possible, because the more of us that knows the modus operandi of these forces, the bigger the chances for us to expose it before it even happens. And then we can stop this mayhem. For instance, like Capitol Hill one, I went out 6 days before Capitol Hill and pointed out next one, Capitol Hill, and then boom, it happens. You know, so it's like, what are the chances?
I thought that the police, there's a crime, there's a stabbing, and then they start investigating. What are you talking about? They set up, they stage this event, and then swoop in as the heroes who've got the solution for you?
Very often it's not police, you know, even though people are running around in police uniforms, these officers are not real police. When you go on location, I always try to go on location. I've been to more or less all of the alleged air attack locations in Europe. I've been to several of the alleged mass shootings in the US and assassination sites all over the place. And what they're trying to tell you is that it was a specific event, like there was a lone crazy individual that was did a mass shooting, or it was a terror attack, Allah Akbar. But when you go there, what I, over all of these years, have found is that not only is it inside jobs being carried out, by Gladio Network, private contractors, and so on, there to scare the living bejesus out of the population, so that that country, and on an international level as well, the population will bend over more and more and accept more and more control, more and more cameras, more and more surveillance, militarized police, all of that that we would never ever have accepted had it not been for the alleged terror, the alleged mass shootings, the alleged 9/11 attacks, and so on. I mean, the world before 9/11 and after 9/11, if you go to an airport, it's like a different planet. And all of it is based on fake terror. So when you see people running around in police uniforms, in uniforms from the fire brigade, ambulance drivers, SWAT teams, what I've found out, and I don't say it's every single time, but there is a global, what I call the global tour of terror. It's like a mobile unit, like a rock group on tour, or a theater group on tour, more or less. They have the exact same setup, you know, the same with the makeup facilities, catering, toilet facilities, background actors, directors, marketing agents, lighting, photographers, all of, and they're being transported from location to location, most of the time in big 130, you know, C-130 planes, military planes, going between American Air Force bases or NATO bases, where they land late at evening so that people don't really notice they come in. And the reason why it's at the army bases is because then there are no flight lodges, there's no nothing for us that we can track down. And then these individuals are then transported on location in big buses that are also used as to set up the whole stage, driving crisis actors in and out, fake evidence, whatever is needed in these buses that are transported on location. And then on location, they have the drill one day, and then they go live the next day or the day after, depending on weather circumstances, if they set everything. And also, I want to point out, one, during the drill, that is also the time where all of these high quality photos are taken that will then go out and see terror just happened there, or terror just happened there, because they need sharp images. They need to be sure that there's a photographer in the perfect spot in there, because this is like a marketing agency, but there's fear, selling fear, and it's fear porn. All of it there to freak us out so that we will can be controlled, allow ourselves to be controlled. So many times when you see people on ground running around like that, police officers like you were referring to, they're not the local police. You, if you interview the local police that specific day when this happened, they were sent off to a nearby county with a prisoner, or they were sent on a conference tour, or they were sent that. You will see all of the normal people are pulled aside. The ambulance drivers just happen to be on a flight there, or given a few extra days off, or this and that. And then instead, there's this global tour of terror that comes in and then acts out like a theater play in Dallas, in Toronto, in Melbourne, in London, in Stockholm. Because where these operations are carried out, they're all, more or less all the time connected either to NATO, so it's a NATO nation, a NATO country, or it's a country that is connected to what is called Five Eyes, Nine Eyes, or 14 Eyes, which is a secret intelligence community agreement undercover that was created after the Second World War and onwards. So nowadays, this used to be ultra top secret, blah, blah, blah. Now there's a lot of this if you want to look into it. So look into Five Eyes, Nine Eyes, and 14 Eyes. And these will be the nations where these alleged attacks occur, and they will very often be repeated in the same locations, in the same police districts, and so on, because that's where they already have people by the balls and are controlled. So they trust them. And so it's just recycling, you know, recycling the same theme over and over and over. It's like, I mean, for me, it's dead boring. It's like, come on, the same again. So it's like for me to watch the same Rocky horror movie, like, no, Rocky Balboa, whatever his name was, like, it was like I'm up to like Rocky 2014, and I'm still, you know, supposed to be surprised of the ending or the setup of the state. It's crap, 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 and crap.
Yeah, I got my master in screenwriting, Ole, and I haven't had contracts with demons, and I have my own ability to contact creativity. which you know, hasn't gotten me too far in life. Let me tell you this.
this is good. But I'll tell you, when body and mind align, spirit enters. That's what is called inspiration. You know, when it comes from above in a pure form, that's the absolute amazing thing. But unfortunately, up until this day, the whole scene have been so hijacked by these forces that when you come from a point of your point, or from if you come with me, I mean, I've got a lot of information that could be heavyweight. New documentaries and mind-blowing stuff like that. Have I been contacted? Yeah, but only to destroy me.
Yeah,
it's the exact opposite way, you know. So
yeah,
but
hey,
hopefully,
do you want to do a documentary about Bigfoot or chupacabras to discredit everything you've ever stood for, Ole? How about that? Can I say, speaking of safety, I know that you're originally right from Sweden, and then you were in Spain for a while, and now you're in a different country. That raised alarm bells with me, your trajectory, because of things that JFK was after. And recently I had a buddy of mine who I've had on my podcast 9 times now is Ben Fulford, and he was talking about the country of Indonesia, and he said this is a 3 and a half minutes, but it's very full of information. I want you to listen to this, okay?
You know, one thing I just want to ask you directly. You said that Neil Keenan is dead. Neil Keenan, the previous M1, the guy who was going around Indonesia, the Philippines, trying to find this gold from JFK, from the Green-Hilton Agreement or whatever. Neil Keenan, the head guy, you know? You said he was dead, but he spoke on YouTube October 28th, 2020. I'm going to play his clip, and then I want your response.
The Dragon family, the Golden Dragon family, has often, on numerous occasions, they've used it. The United States has used, they've used their funds without asking even, which is par for the course, because it's not a government, it's a corporation, and they're not paying attention, because there's nothing the Golden Dragon family can do. They think, there's lots to do. There's lots. There'll be a new world soon. There's going to be different things taking place. And the Indonesian, so we'll be happy with what happens. Asia will be happy with what happens. And the West will be at a loss. I don't mean the people, I mean the government, or the powers that be, that have been, who have literally done nothing for Indonesia.
So, who is that guy if Neil Keenan is dead?
All right. Here's the thing. You know, this is an era when their computer graphics can make anybody seem alive, right? So here's what I know about Neil Keenan. Remember back in 2009, I think two Japanese were arrested in Chiasso, Italy, with $134 billion worth of bombs, and Mr. Watanabe and Mr. Yamaguchi. Mr. Yamaguchi and I have met in person. I met Mr. Watanabe too, okay? So I know these people face to face. And Yamaguchi showed me pictures, analog pictures of him with Neil Keenan and a bunch of bombs. And his father or his uncle was very helpful for the keeping the Japanese emperor safe at the end of World War II. So there was a real Neil Keenan, and we used to be in daily contact. Then I got word from a member of the Dragon family that he had been killed. And after that, another Neil Keenan appeared. He suddenly had this huge growth on his arm, which the real Neil Keenan didn't. And he started trying to sell people these, like, computer healing computers. And it was obviously a case of identity theft. And I've since, you know, tried to get anyone to confirm that Neil Keenan's around. For example, someone in the CIA who is completely fluent in Indonesia, has been there 20 years, and there's no record of him visiting Indonesia. So these people, they not only do they kill people, they then steal their identities. The same thing happened to James Burgermeister, who exposed that they were putting the bird flu in vaccines and started court cases. She was killed, and her colleagues came and said that she was killed. And then someone popped up assuming her identity and saying totally different things.
Wow. So if you follow the trail from JFK's Green-Hilton agreement to a guy called Neil Keenan trying to enact that or find out how to get this gold to back up currency to get it off the fiat system from the cabal of bankers, then they killed him. Have you heard anything about this story?
I'm sorry, Eric. I could hardly hear it. It was breaking up and scrambled as well. But if I understood it right, what you were talking about is that there you see that there's like the same type of force that is behind so things very early in the 60s and is still there in the background. Is that what you're getting at?
This guy called Neil Keenan went to Indonesia to find this gold from the Green-Hilton Accord. And then he was killed and replaced. Any word on this guy? Have you heard of this guy called Neil Keenan before?
I am.
Okay.
I have not heard of him, and I know very little about Indonesia. I'm learning more and more as I'm here, but it's I am. No idea. It's also with Benjamin Fulford. We are on different levels. I'm more on a street level. He's more on a bigger picture involved with also knowing a lot of other areas that I have no idea of. So I'm trying to give many different sources.
All right. Well, I'm just running things by you. Boy, it's a shame. I have 11 clips here. It's a shame if we can't connect clear enough to hear them. Maybe I can move some things around and try to get another clip. I have another clip here of... JFK talking about secret societies. I'm sure you know this.
It's really breaking up here.
Oh, dear. And
inherently and historically.
Eric?
Yes?
Eric?
Yes?
I don't think you're recording.
I have my little audio recorder in front of me at the speakers. It's my tried and true analog version in case the powers that be don't want me talking about what I'm talking about.
Excellent. Sorry about that. Didn't want to interrupt. Let's go again.
Okay, but can you hear it okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweigh the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment.
You were just talking about that. Every time there's a false flag, they push us into more security, huh?
Yeah, I mean, JFK is so spot on in this speech. I mean, incredible. He was just like Roosevelt, Eisenhower was in his farewell speech as well. He did. Yeah, and like I mentioned, I think that JFK and Eisenhower as well, they were so knowledgeable from the inside of the dangers that humanity was facing. And in Eisenhower's farewell speech, which is also in the beginning of the JFK movie, he describes it so directly and in great detail. And JFK in this speech as well, it's mind-blowing. What they say is the absolute truth. And it's a very good description of what we're up against. And this is also what has been quieted down and shut down, at least on an official level, ever since the K-Dot.
Mm. I came across an old movie, which was sort of like a propaganda film of the start of the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, and I have this very interesting clip from this IMF movie.
The World Bank and IMF originated in the rubble of the Second World War.
At Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, delegates from 44 allied and associate countries arrived for the opening of the United Nations Monetary and Financial Conference.
Its first task was to provide loans to help rebuild war-torn Western Europe and Japan. When that mission ended in the 1950s, the bank shifted to third world development. The more the private banks loaned, the more they earned from interest on the loans. Profits from foreign operations of the seven largest U.S. banks nearly tripled between 1970 and 1982. But while private bank profits were rising, many third world countries found it harder to pay the interest on their debt, let alone pay back the principal. When they turned to the World Bank and IMF for help, they faced something new: demands for many major economic changes before money would be loaned. The demands include cut government spending. Governments typically do this by privatizing, that is, selling state-owned industries. They also cut spending by laying off government workers, curtailing government services, cutting subsidies for health and education.
So the bankers come in and they give a loan to a developing poor country, and then they say, hey, you're not paying this loan back fast enough. How about cut hospital spending, cut education, cut the food supply for your people? Like, what? Oled?
You know, it's, it's very, very important what you're describing here. And one of the way they do it is more or less, I mean, they described it very beautifully in this sound clip.
Can you hear me, buddy? I can't hear you anymore. Ah, crap.
I've rebooted everything here, you know, it's like, it's hard to know what's going on, but we live in an area where the internet is not very stable.
Okay.
But hopefully it's going to be better now.
Okay, let's just press on. I have a clip that's very much in your wheelhouse. This is Patrick Clawson, who one time gave the evil agenda of what the bad guys are up to. I think you'll find this very interesting.
That the traditional way of America gets to war is what would be best for U.S. interests. Some people might think that Mr. Roosevelt wanted to get us into World War II. As David mentioned, you may recall we had to wait for Pearl Harbor.
Had to wait
for it. Some people might think Mr. Wilson wanted to get us into World War I. You may recall he had to wait for the Lusitania episode. Some people might think that Mr. Johnson wanted to send troops to Vietnam. You may recall we had to wait for the Gulf of Tonkin episode. We didn't go to war with Spain until the USS, until the Maine exploded. And may I point out that Mr. Lincoln did not feel he could call out the Federal Army until Fort Sumter was attacked, which is why he ordered the commander of Fort Sumter to do exactly that thing which the South Carolinians had said would cause an attack. So if, in fact, the Iranians aren't going to compromise, it would be best if somebody else started the war.
What?
But I would just like to suggest that one can combine other means of pressure with sanctions. I mentioned that explosion on August 17th. We could step up the pressure. I mean, look, people, Iranian submarines periodically go down. Someday one of them might not come up. Who would know why? We are in the game of using covert means against the Iranians.
Is that terrifying?
We could get nastier at that.
What do you say, Ole?
This is, I can't see the guy, but it's a guy with a blonde guy with glasses. Is that correct? In the White House or somewhere talking about this?
Yeah, it's called the Washington Institute, Patrick Clawson.
Yeah, I know exactly the dude. He's just saying the way it is. And this is the terrifying thing of it. It's almost like I believe that the normal person is not interested in war, is not interested in greed on that level, and more or less every single time when you really start digging into stuff, I'm not talking about the official history, if you listen to his story, whatever the person is, there's always the conqueror that writes the history books. But when you really start looking into these events, they're so often built on exactly what is called false flag operations, where the attacked one is actually the attacker, where they attack themselves so that that justifies them hitting back and then doing whatever they want. It's the same over and over and over again.
Is that good karma on him now if he sinks an Iranian submarine and nobody tries to stop him? That's good karma for him, huh?
This is so bizarre to me, so I'm not an expert. I can only say what I was informed about. And to me, the reason why he might have said this could be exactly that. Because when you think of it, how stupid is it to be that open if you're doing covert operations? But when you speak that openly about it, so that indirectly could very well be one of these things.
You said before that some insider sort of leaked you this information of like, keep going, you're on the right track, although you're missing this and this piece. And then he falls back into the shadows, into the military industrial complex. He like kind of grinds back into the gears of the machine that's destroying the planet rapidly, you know? Do you feel as though there's good like white hats and black hats behind the scenes rooting for you or opposing you?
Opposing for sure. I mean, that I feel very, very almost on a daily basis, and also with this censorship that is going on. My complete YouTube channel with I don't know how many thousands and thousands of things up there was deleted a few years ago, and then now my whole Vimeo account that I paid for, not a warning, nothing, boom, shut down. So I'm in the process of rebuilding my whole website once again. So opposing forces, for sure. I've had people murdered around me. This is also why we emigrated twice over the last 20 odd years. But good sources, I feel that people in general are good. That's the way I see it. And then we can get messed up by life. But when we're born, when we come to this planet, most of us that are not born psychopaths are good people with a good heart, good intention. And then sometimes you get hijacked down the line, or your the job, the institution that you're working for as a police officer or a military individual or whatever gets hijacked. So suddenly you are on the wrong side, but your heart is still good and your intentions are still good, but you don't know how to get out and you're too scared not to follow orders. So many people that contact me are from the inside of the military, the police, the SWAT teams, so on in many different countries. So for sure, I'm being helped from the inside, but very discreetly. And I get sent all kinds of stuff that I have no idea who's sending it. You know, I don't know if I can trust it either. But I trust in the goodness of a human being, and we're all in the same boat up against these super psychopaths. So I hope I answered your question.
I think so, you know, but there's a guy, he's a former spy, a former CIA agent. His name is Robert David Steele. And
yeah, I know him.
Years ago, he went on a documentary and he said this.
We have it all. All of the illicit wealth in the world has been tracked by the National Security Agency for the past 15 years. We now know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Wall Street has stolen $100 trillion from Main Street with naked short selling. We also know that Wall Street has laundered $100 trillion in dirty money from trafficking in children and women and drugs and guns and gold. I can never tire of saying that 90% of the people in the U.S. government, the U.S. military, the U.S. intelligence community are good people trapped in a bad system. The secret intelligence community serves the deep state. It does not serve the American public. And CIA in particular has been doing torture, rendition of torture, drone assassination, regime change, helping to start wars on based on lies, all because war and trafficking in humans and drugs and so forth are a profit center for Wall Street and the deep state. And once the president gets Benny into NSA and processes 100% of what we have at NSA, we have every single one of you by the balls. You cannot survive this. You have one out. The Truth and Reconciliation out is make the deal, motherfucker, or you are going to die.
So, some tough words there. He's a white hat saying to the black hats, we have everything, we have all your emails. what is the cog in the wheel that's stopping this? You know, he says, we have it all. We have all the emails that proves everything. Is it bravery that they lack? You see what I'm asking, Ole?
Yeah, and I'm the wrong person to answer, because when you get into these areas, there is no black or white. There is no up and down. It's smoke and mirrors, secrets inside labyrinths, inside enigmas, inside a box where the key is thrown away, dropped at the bottom of the sea. It's like we want it sort of so clear. Is he good? Is he bad? Is this right? Is this wrong? It's so, so difficult to know. It's also, for me, very, very difficult to know who different people are, just because they say they are someone. Like Robert David Steele here, I've been on his show several times. I was almost going to go on tour with him and Cynthia McKinney. But in his CV, it says that he's still employed by the NSA and the CIA, or the CIA, I'm not sure which one. And I asked him, do you know, David, please tell, you know, because before we go on tour, for one thing, I don't want to be part of this unrigged political campaign, because I'm not a political person at all. But I would very much like to join you if possible, because that would be amazing. But anyway, so I said, please, before I say yes to anything, just this eternal question, once CIA, always CIA, can you please just confirm to me that you are not part of this game anymore? And I never got an answer. So it's like what he's saying, many of the things he's saying is incredible, very spot on, very, but I don't know. Do you know, like, who is working for who is control opposition, who is, you know, like, I've been betrayed several times of people that were very close to me, which was extremely painful. And so I'm walking around in a minefield. I don't know who people are. I don't know who you are. I don't know who he is. I don't know who Bennett Belford is, Fulford, and so on. Who are they working for? Or are they genuine people that are just trying to help the world? I don't know. And so I'm the wrong person to ask.
You know, what raised alarm, but I'll tell you who I am. I'm a comedian in Austin, Texas, and I, you know, the first time we talked, I was in New Jersey. That's about all I could say for that. Never worked for the CIA, I can promise you that. Come from pretty humble beginnings. But Robert David Steele, you know, he did Carrie Cassidy, Project Camelot, and I was watching that live, and it came out, and it was 2 hours and 55 minutes, and then Carrie Cassidy's YouTube was entirely deleted. And then Robert posted the interview on his website, and it was 22 minutes long, and he cut out all the hard questions. So
what can I say?
That's a fact. These are facts. And I'm sorry, but I'm on Team Carrie Cassidy. So, I mean, to me, she is a goddess that could do no wrong, but that's just where I'm sitting. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but, you know, that's how I don't think,
but
you know, yeah, go
I've
on.
I've been on Carrie's show many times. I met her in Prague. I was even invited to a conference by her in Barcelona in Spain. She's done amazing. I mean, a lot of these people, but this is also, I don't want to connect her with controlled opposition. Absolutely not. I'm saying when you are the force behind so many of these things, you also need to control as much of the opposition as possible. And thus, you infiltrate it, you send out so-called truth speakers, you send out incredible information. And but these can sometimes be totally controlled operations. Like, I'm sure I'm going to shock some people. In my world, WikiLeaks is 100% controlled opposition. Incredible information that is sent out on a regular basis. But you can find, there's an incredible book by Daniel Estulin that is called Deconstructing WikiLeaks and Assange as well. It's unbelievable. When you see who is behind it, who's on the boardroom meetings, who are all of these, you will see, oh my God. I would also suggest that Edward Snowden is somebody I would not trust at all. What he's saying, incredible information, I'm not saying anything about that, but how come that so many incredible truth speakers and whistleblowers and so on are giving absolute zero exposure in mainstream media. And then individuals like Edward Snowden, if he sneezes, boom, BBC, CNN, all of them are there. What does that tell you when so many others are just being destroyed and not even given a chance to get the word out? And then you have these sources that just pumps it up. And with Snowden, I think it's amazing that he keeps being able to give out more and more information over the years, even though he's became a whistleblower and got out. So it's like, and in the way they control opposition, you have a whistle, something, but it that boom comes out with incredible information, that starts pumping out incredible information that is 100% true, and you keep that pumping out until you got like a million or two people following you, and where they double check, they triple check the facts, and they say, this guy, you can trust that one. Then after a year or so, suddenly it's 90% absolute mind-blowing truth, 10% not truth, 80% truth, 20% fake, 70-30, 50-50. Then in the end, you don't know what is what. And I don't want to badmouth individuals. At the same time, if you see Alex Jones, the way that this whole operation was started, that is what he's pumping out, incredible information, and certain areas are just a no-go zone, but very specific areas that are very important to look into. And also sometimes you will see that it's off the track, you know, in a totally not truthful direction. So these operations are really, really dangerous and very hard. And it's so, you know, the way I see it, the only one I really trust is myself. And then when it comes to other people, other sources, I have to double check, triple check, and all the time question, because I don't know.
You know, it's funny. I get audio from different sources. Like I rip it from YouTube, but a lot of times, sometimes, you know, YouTube, like you were just saying, they'll delete a whole channel, they'll delete whatever. I went to New School University in New York City. I graduated in 2008. These citizen journalists ran up to Bob Carey. I got this from an MP3 that I downloaded off the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth website. And I held my Zoom recorder to it because I couldn't rip the audio or whatever, you know. But this is Bob Carey talking by some citizens journalists that ambushed him and asked him questions about 9/11. You're not going to see this on CNN.
No. I was just wondering, real quick, why didn't they talk about Building 7 in the report? Why do you think that would
have been? I don't have an easy answer for you, and I would ask it, but...
Can you see this medical thing right now?
Yeah, anyway.
Thank you.
Do you support a criminal investigation into 9/11? Because I know, yours was an exposition. It was not a criminal investigation.
I don't think so, but I don't know. I mean, I do support a permanent commission to examine, not just that, but lots of other things in this area.
But if it's a permanent cover-up, then if it's an act of war and it's hiding things, which everyone on your commission knew that the Pentagon was changing their stories, lying to you, right. And it's a cover-up of an act of war, and under Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, it's treason. So unless we get to the very bottom of it, then we're still talking a treasonous exposition.
This is a longer conversation. I'm not sure you this one, you ever get to the bottom of it.
We have to, or we can't save our country, sir.
I don't think, well, if that's the condition upon which we're going to be saving our country, I don't think. Because the problem is, it's a 30-year-old conspiracy.
No, I'm talking about 9/11.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, you are. You mean it?
Yeah. Anyway, I got it.
Be well.
So in 2009, he says 9/11 is a 30-year conspiracy, and he supports a commission to look in, a permanent commission to look in this and other things in this area.
Well, what can I say, except that when I look into top political assassinations and many or several of these really, really high-level cases, I have come to the understanding over the years that the investigation that follows the murder of JFK, MLK, RFK, you name it, will be part of the crime. the investigation is put there not to find the real truth, it's there to cover the whole thing up, get rid of all the real evidence, and get point everything towards the official Patsy, and that's the investigation. And then stop real truth seekers that are starting to get too close, like myself and other people, will be threatened, destroyed, whatever. That's the investigation. The investigation of these big conspiracies will be part of the conspiracy. And if that, if the population doesn't accept it and keep asking questions, then after a year or so, the government or the forces behind it will say, well, if you don't trust us, we will we will gather this commission of truth, the Truth Commission, or the Truth and this, or the Stardust. They always have these fancy names for these commissions. But the commissions will be part of the crime as well, to drag it out, drag it out, drag it out, so that, and then collect 1,000 pages of absolute crap, boring stuff that doesn't really make any sense. And then after a year, they will say, well, here we are, 1 year later. It's incredible the amount of work we've done. But we looked into this whole thing, we see that the investigation, they made a mistake here, 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 and here, but otherwise they did great. We did a fantastic job, and that's about it. Thank you, good folks. Now go back to sleep and leave us alone. So the commissions are always part of it. So to just to elect a new commission to look into this whole thing, it has to be done on a whole different level. And I would say anyone that even hesitates to point out that this was a total inside job, like an act of the highest treason, an act of war against the world indirectly, is not an honest individual. And these people in these so-called commissions, if they don't speak 100% truth, they are controlled. They are held by the ball for some reason, and that's often why they're elected. They look good, they have a nice reputation, a nice title, this, that, whatever. But if up until now we haven't seen real people that are standing up and say, fuck this, this is so, so not true. My God, it's so obvious. You know, like many years ago, I was sitting going through some of these videos from 9/11 when the towers just fell straight down, and my four-year-old daughter came in, running in, and she said, hi, Dad, what are you doing? And so I told her the official story. I described exactly the official story while she was watching the videos of these buildings going down. She was 4 years old. She looked at me and said, Dad, I'm a child. I'm not stupid. Why are you lying to me? That's a four-year-old with a brain that has not been damaged yet by propaganda and so on, and indoctrination. So for us to be so many years, I mean, 20 years after 9/11, and we're still like, was it the planes? Was it not? Was it this? Was it not? Was it the hijackers? What if? It was not. It was not. It was a total inside job to create the war on terror. The US, Israel in the background, Saudi money in the background, to create the war on terror, and has then resulted in multiple totally unjust wars on innocent nations that their only crime is that they have a central bank, or they've got like poppy fields, or they've got minerals, or they've got a strategic position on the map. That's it. But so I'm very, very tired of this whole machine that just keeps going around and around. And we, the ordinary people, normal people, are just accepting it, saying, oh, well, I hope there's going to be a new commission that will look into it. It's an absolute waste of your tax money. They will not find anything. It will be very nicely put. And like after the alleged assassination of the Swedish Prime Minister, Olof Palme, there's been four commissions. And so it just goes on until we're too tired and we give up. And then everything just passes on, and they get away with it.
Ole, I have to tell you this. My father, back in the late 90s, was working on Wall Street. And he at first was working for a company called Marsh McLennan. But then a company called Worldco sort of doubled his salary. And because he was really good at his job, and he took, you know, a different job, and then like 7 months later, 9/11 happened, but he was on 110 Wall Street. If he still worked on Marsh McLennan, he would have been in the towers. And that that morning, the phones went out, and I didn't know if he was alive or dead for 24 hours. And but I was 16. I saw they brought us in the library in Jersey, and someone starts bawling, crying, saying, "This is all the only person I'm starting to get upset. This is the only person I have left. You know, this is that's it. I only have this person left." And I don't know if that person's parent was killed in that time, because I wasn't good friends with that person. But luckily, my dad made his way to a hotel, but he couldn't leave the island for a while, and we couldn't even contact him by phone at that time. So since then, I've never fucking forgot that, and I've always been like, I'm going to find out everything about these people and take them down. So that's where I'm coming from on this. But, yeah, and then I went to the New School University, and Bob Carey was doing the, you know, 9/11 Commission report at the time. So, anyway, that's what sort of woke me up when I was watching all this bullshit going, I can't stand for this. This, like, everything they tell us is a lie. It's exhausting, these people.
It is, once you get to that understanding, and it's taken me many, many years to see that it's that bad, what you need to do is you need to turn everything 180 degrees upside down, and then suddenly you will see that it makes sense. So they will tell you the exact opposite of what is true. They will tell you the exact opposite of what is good for you. Everything will be camouflaged with a nice cover, a glossy, beautiful thing, you know, oh, the truth here, the truth there. It's absolute bollocks. It's so not true. And I want to just mention that if you really want to look into 9/11, I think one place that really should be looked at is the Brookhaven National Laboratory out not far from Point Zero, because that is where I believe that they used the power to pulverize these buildings, even though they were being used. They used everything, including controlled demolition, mini nukes, you name it, to bring these buildings down. But also directed energy weapons to pulverize. I mean, these two buildings were totally pulverized. Building 7, totally different story. That was still only controlled demolition, as far as I know. But look into Brookhaven National Laboratory. That is where the power was used from.
Yeah, I'm certainly I'm torn between Richard Gage and Dr. Judy Wood on the explanation.
But I tell you, I'm not sure where the difference is, but I believe that it was a combination. They needed everything. They used everything they had to bring these buildings down, because they couldn't leave them halfway hanging, you know. There was no option for failure. So they used everything in their catalog they had, you know. All kinds of weaponry was used on these buildings.
So we were talking about, you know, they just lie to us and it's exhausting and no investigation gets anywhere, and they tell us exactly what they're going to do and then they pull it off. Mr. Bill Gates, who has no undergrad degree in anything because he's too much of a privileged shit to finish college, even though he was given a full ride and he had a silver spoon in his ass his whole life. Bill Gates gave us the agenda that we're currently going through, and I think this is important to play. This happened in 2015.
First, we've got population. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
I love these type of things. I love it. I mean, they are telling us what they're doing.
There's exactly. Too many people, Ole. So what we need is a good job with vaccines that'll lower it by 10%. What? And these people are sitting there and not running to the stage to strangle them.
This is what gets to me. I don't get it. You know, I don't understand why people are not reacting. But it's wonderful when it comes straight from the mouth of the perpetrators. So, this is the perfect way they shoot themselves in the foot, because you cannot explain that in a different way. He just gave it the whole plan away there and then. And so if you look at, if you want to see a super psychopath, that's one for you there. He comes from a family of the same, you know, Planned Parenthood, and but they've got the tentacles in so many different areas now. So Gates is absolutely not a top one, but he's a player on a certain level, but he is a key person in what is going on at the moment.
Mm. And he was sitting on his couch after doing a semester of Harvard, and he's like, these teachers are telling me what to do. I don't want to, yeah. So he went back on his mom's couch, and she's like, why don't you knock on Melinda Watson's door? Why don't you see what she's doing? Facts.
You know, in 2015, that same year, he was asked, there's a YouTube video where he's asked before the holidays if there was any books he would like to recommend to people. And one of the titles that he recommends, I kid you not, is Statistics and How to Lie with Statistics. That's the title of the book, How to Lie with Statistics. That is the book that he recommends. And that is exactly what they're doing now on a global scale.
I listened to your interview with Tinfoil Hat. I'm a fan of Sam Tripoli. You said something very fascinating on that podcast. I want to follow up. You said that you acquired some PCR tests, and some of them were labeled on the test or the booklet as a negative control, and some of the tests were positive. Have you had them tested?
I'm not sure if I have it. I gave the whole kit to Sasha Stone here on Bali because I as far as I know, he's got people with connections with laboratories to check them out. But I opened them. There were all of these different test kits, and then there were two. One that said positive on it in green, I think, and one in negative in red, and. So I opened them up, and these were very different to the other ones. They were like swabs, but they were colored red and colored green. And after, because I thought, whoa, this is so bizarre. You know, this is how you can fake around with the result. But I spoke to this laboratory person who's been working in laboratories, and she said that it's possible that these ones are used as a test thing for the kit that you have, just to make sure, okay, this one we tested, yeah, it tests negative, yes, it tests positive if it's like this. So I don't know, but for me it looked very suspicious.
Mm. So you're saying it might be a training tool?
I'm saying that I don't know. And I gave it to Sasha Stone, and hopefully they will check it out and see what's actually in them, or where, because these test ones are bad button mothers, I tell you. So there's more and more information coming out around different types of these PCR tests that are very dangerous. Some of them even being infected, some of them with nanotechnology, some of them, I mean, who knows what's in them when you look at who's producing them. And we're back to the satanic type of individuals, like the same people that are behind this whole operation that goes under the name of Corona. Because the PCR test, I mean, even Kerry Mullins, the guy that invented it and got the Nobel Peace Prize, no, not Peace Prize, but the Nobel Prize for it, said you can't diagnose a disease with this at all. You can just, whatever you want to find in the body, you can amplify it and say, okay, there it is. And so he went out big time saying you can't use this the way you're doing. And then he died very conveniently just before COVID took off. You know, and he was also very much involved with the HIV test kits, and where he was trying to find out where is the virus, where it, has anyone located the virus? I mean, that would be the simplest question of all. And as far as I know, he never found it.
Yeah, Mullis, M-U-L-L-I-S. And he also said Fauci and those guys, they have an agenda. They don't know anything that's going on in the human body, but they have an agenda, which is not what we would like them to have.
God, yeah, that is so true, because that agenda, just like you say, has nothing to do with medical thing, it has nothing to do with health, it's a matter of AI, artificial, and like transhumanism, and into the New World Order control grid. I mean, it's
awful, awful when you look at what's in these vaccines. I mean, as far as I know, there are 64 different vaccines out there now, possibly more. But many of them, especially the Fauci one, where you got the mRNA, M stands for messenger, and what they're doing is they want to replace the natural mRNA, where that's the messenger system between your DNA and whatever happens in your body. It's sort of the communication system. So if you get a cut on a finger or whatever, the mRNA will be the one running up and down saying, okay, we need proteins to fix that finger and go back and tell the organs and stuff like that. But what Fauci is doing with his company Moderna is that they have replaced that one with a synthetic mRNA that can be reprogrammed once it's in your body. It's like an operating system. According to their own website, it's like in a computer, like you have, you've got a Mac one. Here they want to introduce, they inject sort of like a Linux or a Windows system into your body, your physical body, that can take over the Mac, if we're talking on a computer level, yeah. Can take over your local operating system with their system. And then they, through 5G and from outer ways of Wi-Fi technology, they can reprogram it on the run inside your body. I mean, that is terrifying. Terrifying.
They can also, sort of like a cow in a field who has a number, bovine number 485, they're going to put the nanotechnologies to give you sort of a social security number to track how many sweat hours you're giving back to the blockchain central bankers. They're just upgrading the banking system.
That is one part of it also. They got the ID 2020, the nanotechnology with the ID chipping. And I would very strongly suggest that nowadays, I don't know in the States, but here in Indonesia and in many places in Europe as well, they have these thermometers. So when you come in into a shop, you're not allowed to go in without having a mask, and they will check your temperature. But this thermometer is so off the scale. These are so not accurate. You know, when you look at them, they check your temperature and then they show it to you. And often you should be dead. You know, it's so low. But this one is, I would suggest, is sort of a stepping stone, making us used to this equipment, because it is exactly that infrared equipment that is then used for the ID 2020 technology, where you identify the chip in you. I've seen that in a documentary with Dear Mr. Gates, where he was using one of them to check exactly that whole thing. So this whole thing about the temperature, absolute bullshit. It's not because of that. It's to make us used to, so that in the near future, if they get away with it, it will be, well, we got food in here and you have not a problem, but put on your mask and let me just check your ID 2020 that proves that you've taken the vaccine, and then you're allowed in. Otherwise, sorry, no food.
Ugh. It's also, it reminds me of your PCR test. That might be the drill. It might be the false flag. It might be the training tool to show people how to use this magic trick. And it might be, it's a labyrinth and an enigma. It's not the damn truth, that's for sure. It's much simpler.
I tell you, I stay away from these PCR tests like a rabies dog. I would not go close to them at all. No way. And with the vaccines, I would treat them as a deadly weapon. If anyone approached me or any of my loved one with that, I would consider it the same level of danger as a bazooka or a machine gun.
You put on your website something very fascinating. It was originally in Danish, but a nice gentleman translated it. This is how the vaccine passport, so after you get injected with the vaccine, you get chipped, they're going to check your temple with these thermometers that have a different use. What's a vaccine passport? I want to go to a concert, I want to travel, you know, I want to get on a plane and visit you, Oli, but I need a vaccine passport. What's that all about? And this is what you published on your website. I think this is very good.
So here we have, first of all, we've got Casper. Casper's the dad. Lives in Denmark with their son Thomas. Casper was at first vaccinated with vaccine A and downloaded the Passport app, Stay Safe. Corona Passport is a government document. Stay Safe is the app for Corona Passport that shows the validity of recent test vaccine. When vaccination is registered with by the health authorities, so will be digital passport updated in the app.
Oh, that's interesting. That's just keeping everybody safe, huh?
This one is actually an official Danish instruction video, and it's shit scary, I tell you. It's an animation that looks really nice, but when you see how and how deeply they're going to affect our lives with closing in on us so that we can't do anything without these passports, without these vaccines, without these the mark of the beast, without the mask, without the you name it, we are. If they get away with this one, I don't really know how we're going to get out of it.
I'm just sorry for a moment. I'm just having anxiety waves over me. let me just pop on to my next question. This might be a divisive topic, but I think it's very important. Just a year before they rolled out the coronavirus, which, by the way, I was told when I was a kid that the common cold, I was always told, oh, that's not curable, the common cold. There's no cure for the common cold. So, but the cure sort of was suggested to be chicken soup and 2 days rest. But that whole chicken soup and 2 days rest has been sort of co-opted by Big Pharma as this false flag that is being perpetrated on us. But a year before, they wanted to throw some confusion into the wind and get us talking. So they created 97 gender pronouns, including Zimzer, Zed, you know, which sounds, I mean, I speak some German. That sounds like the table of conjugation. One of them, which I find very disturbing, is they, them. So instead of male, female, they, them. Now, you know, the devil is in the details here, but if you call yourself they, then, you know, Ellen Page was this beautiful actress, and now she's Ethan Page, and I support her transition to him if she so desires, but his preferred pronoun is also they, which is not only is it plural, but it's disassociative, because it's those people. And how is somebody going to have initiative or an identity if their identity is the people in the other room? So as a protest to this movement, my gender on Facebook is officially those people over there with expensive cutlery and guitars, because I think that makes just as much sense as they them. Do you have any sense? I know this can be divisive. I support my LGBTQ people, but when you choose a pronoun that's those people, do you see a problem?
I see a massive problem here. When you look at what the New World Order wants, they want to destroy everything. Everything, everything, everything. And out of the ruins, they will build what they call the New World Order. And including destroying is family, is culture, is nations, is traditions, languages, you name it, and gender and language. You know, there's a reason why it's called spelling. Spell a word. Spelling. The words have power. And when it comes to when you look at, just like you say, I mean, I don't care if you want to be a he, she, or whatever. But here we're seeing a whole different agenda in the background that has been put in place many, many, many years ago, and then being pushed forward more and more violently. And this is also the way, the different ways they make us sort of like when they move in, and suddenly you the way they move in, it's like a psychological operation, so that you cannot stand up and say, well, I don't like this, this is really bizarre. Then suddenly you're a racist or a Holocaust denier or you or whatever, you know, like how narrow-minded are you? Can you not accept her sexuality? And so it's like, yeah, but when you see that the forces behind this agenda is extremely dark and extremely destructive for all of us, then I'm sorry, I cannot accept it. And then it doesn't matter if it's IGBLCGLGNBQ, whatever agenda, I don't care. When you look at who's behind it, you have to react and say, whoa, 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 hang on, hang on. And when you look at Agenda 21, the way, which is very much part of what we're seeing being unfolded now, you will see that one of the ways that this is so efficient is that it's on a local level, national level, and international level. On the same time, they're simultaneously rolling it out there like this. And it's with these agendas as well. It's on an international basis with destroying the languages, destroying gender, destroying families, destroying education, destroying religion, you name it, destroy, 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 destroy. And this is where this whole thing comes in. And what you create is an absolutely confused younger generation. I mean, my daughter has been bisexual, homosexual, straight, trans, I don't know what, you know, and she's like, all her friends is like, one day she's this, then that, then that. What you get is a very confused individual that has no found ground to stand on, no foundation to know who they really are. And then when you're not even allowed to use the word I without being rude, you know, in Sweden, if you say, I think so, you're like, yeah, that's so rude of you to say that. No, I just expressed, this is my opinion. Yeah, but you said, I. Yeah. Do you know, it's like, because you should say you, or you should say, there's a different word in Swedish that you should say that gets it totally neutral. And also they got, now you shouldn't say her, hers, or his. You should say, it's in Swedish, Hans or Hennes, it's Hens. It's like in the middle of it all, it's like super confusing. So why is that there? Once again, to destroy from the inside, to just mess it all up, make it totally confused and lose power. That is what I believe is happening.
Yeah.
And divide and conquer as well.
Yeah, so now we're you know, bickering with each other over nonsense instead of raising flags over these false flags that we're watching them perpetrate. So it's like, you know what, I'm going through all these hormone therapies to change my ever-changing gender, so I can't, you know, sorry. This makes me crazy.
I interviewed an incredible woman. I've interviewed her several times. Her name is Charlotte Isabit, and she was a secretary during the Second World War for high level people in the War Department and in the whatever, on a high level. Then later on in life, she was offered the job as one of the people responsible for education under the Reagan administration. And she was like, wow, that is amazing. I don't know, I don't understand why you've chosen me, but that's fantastic. Thank you so much. And so she was given this high pay job in, I think it was in Washington, close to the White House, where she was then invited into where the Center of Education was. And she came to her job the first day and was welcomed there. And they said, here's your beautiful big office. It's so great to have you here. Welcome on board. And then she was left alone in her room. And the first day, fine. The second day, she was like, okay, but I'm here to work, so what am I supposed to do? And they said, no, no, don't worry about that. You just go have lunch with your girlfriends, play some golf, get a massage, whatever. But this is a hardworking woman, you know, she's like almost a workaholic. She was like, but I'm here to make a difference, please help me. And they said, no, 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 don't worry about it. So anyway, so she was there alone in her office, not knowing why she had been elected or put there. And so she started looking around in the office, and everything was empty, except there was one file cabinet that they forgot to empty. And so she started looking through these documents, and what she found was absolutely mind-blowing. This was in the 80s, and she found that for more than 30 years, there had been a very distinct plan for how to destroy education in the US and abroad as well. How to, through the education system, destroy families from the inside, to get drugs into families on as early an age as possible, getting youngsters on sex, drugs, and rock and roll as in an early age as possible, how to get all real knowledge out of the way and start pumping in with absolute nonsense, but things that would just fill your brain with crap so that you cannot function as a normal, steady individual. And also, in the long run, how to get people connected into the internet that was not yet officially for certain, quite a few years, how to get them hooked up so that they would at all times be hooked up somehow to the internet and all the time, you know, with needing, what do you call it, like getting like a... no stamina, I mean, nothing there. You need the reward right away through the internet to just pump people up so that they would lose the power, their own power, lose the energy and so on.
And delaying, so, they can't delay gratification.
Exactly, that was it. But anyway, so she became very, very upset, and she started a whole campaign against this, and she actually wrote a book, The Dumbing Down of America, which you can find for free online as a PDF, where she goes through the whole thing, where the agenda is exactly what we see here. And included in that, as far as I know as well, is this whole transgender, how to just destroy genders from the inside, destroy families, destroy identities, destroy everything from the inside. It's all been planned for a long, long, long time.
I was I had the privilege to be on a video call with my niece and nephew this morning, and they're such beautiful, organic little rascals. And for her second birthday, I got my niece Gwen some boxing gloves, and now she's five. Or you know, as she gets older, I keep going. Whenever Uncle Eric comes over, I go, "Hey, let's do some boxing." And she's like, "No, I'll put on a dress." So I don't really have to worry about her. I kind of know where her gender is. If it changes, I'm going to raise hell, because it's very innate and it's not, you know what I mean? But yeah. Anyway, I was on your website last night, Light on Conspiracies. Let me get that out there. And you had an old interview, Making Critical Thinking Illegal. And you quoted Voltaire. You said, "If you want to know who's controlling you, look for someone who you cannot criticize." And as I was watching this video, it failed at 3:22 and went bang. And I promise you, this happened.
Is the video not working?
It stopped at 30 minutes to two. But I know my numerology, because head of the IMF taught me numerology, and it numerology was 3:22. That's when it failed. I don't know if that just failed for me. I don't know if that's overall. But not only did it fail, but it went womp at the time of failure.
Well, this is a very, very, in my world, a very, very important video. Maybe the most important one I ever done. And so I get a little concerned when you say that. I'm going to check it right away, because it's been shut down so many times.
Yes, but you were talking about the numbers of Jews killed on the Holocaust, and you brought up something that I found fascinating that I didn't know, that officially during the Nuremberg trials, the number of Jews killed was 1.5 million.
When you look at the numbers in this whole thing, this is... Making Critical Thinking Illegal, that's what the name of this interview is. Please go and check it out, because as soon as you even start questioning anything that has to do with the Holocaust, it's like committing suicide, online suicide. So I avoided speaking about this one. I've only done one interview, And this is the one I stand 100% by. It's 2 hours where I just go through the numbers, through the logistics, and just show you the official story, absolute BS. It is so, so, so not true. And but I refer to the video, so listen to that one before you want to shoot my head off.
Yeah, but, and you show lot of graphs of the moving numbers. Now, I'm not saying it, you know, we're not saying it didn't happen. We're not saying, you know, there wasn't mass death. It's just the number came out years and years before. But I found it fascinating. But yeah, again,
no, I'm saying it did not happen the way we're being told. That I stand by 100%. The Holocaust did not occur according to the way we're being told. Absolute 100% lie. In my world, I stand by that. So,
In Indonesia, this past Palm Sunday, there was 20 were hurt in a bombing, and attackers were believed to be part of a militant group.
Here.
Yes.
In Indonesia.
Well, this is according to Associated Press.
Well, I tell you, Associated Press is the Rothschilds. It's owned by the Rothschilds. And so many times when there is an image or part of these false flag operations, it's Reuters or Associated Press. Getty's Images as well. These are the agencies that pump this type of information out there. And so many times it turns out to be not true. I haven't heard a single word about what you just said. So what, say it again, please. Was a what?
So this is Associated Press. At least 20 hurt in Palm Sunday bombing at Indonesia Cathedral. Attackers believed to be part of a militant group. Police say, Associated Press.
Okay, so where is that? I mean, I didn't even know there was a cathedral here because it's not a Christian country. That's just a Christian minority here. Where is this said to have happened?
I don't know. That's the extent of... I saw this headline and I wrote it down thinking, huh, I wonder if Ole knows about this. But just as you were saying, Valentine's Day, Halloween, this is Palm Sunday.
Palm Sunday, and then you got like a cathedral on a Hindu, Buddhist,
It just
Muslim.
Says Indonesia Cathedral. It doesn't have the, I don't know. Anyway, something to look into. I have a clip here. I'm a fan of Australian people. They're very funny. And even, I was looking at Sky News Australia, and, you know, you're not seeing this coverage in America. But when you go to Australia, all they're talking about is Biden cognitively declining. And I find it hilarious. So I just want to play this clip for you.
And when asked if he had taken a cognitive test, this was the response.
Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
It got considerably worse from there, Rowan. He was borderline elder abuse. At the end of it, he was really struggling with his words. Mark, the Biden gaffes don't end there. Here is his latest remarks about the African-American community that have been labelled blatantly racist. Have a look.
By the way, what you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things.
The bloke is reluctant to speak to the media because those managing Biden know that if he goes off message, to put it unkindly, he's hopeless.
Come on, man. You wouldn't submit a cocaine test before a job interview? Come on, man.
Well, I don't know what to say.
Is he the original Biden, or has he been replaced?
I don't know what to say. I don't know. I don't even look into Biden. I mean, there's so many things going on that is more important than who is the puppet at the moment. This is an individual that has absolutely no say in nothing. And so I don't even spend 5 minutes listening to him. I try to focus on where I can make more of a difference.
it seems to me that all the people that were so, you know, America was quite divided during this election. A lot of people hated Trump. They just wanted him out at all costs. And so it's almost like they're making fun of us. It's almost like they're like, all right, well, you're right. Let's get rid of this guy. And then we got Creepy Joe in there. It's just, for me, living in this country, knowing what I know, having a memory, not getting chipped, I'm very sad. But one guy who might be at the top, one guy who might be worth watching what he says, is the current head of the BIS, the Bank of International Settlements. His name is Augustin Carstens, and he talked about digital currency in a very interesting way here.
Being the bank of the central banks, can you give us an idea of how many central banks around the world you think are trying to dabble into central bank digital currencies, or at least have it on the table?
All of them are analyzing it, are studying it. Needless to say, there, again, as I said before, there are economies of scale in that study, in that analysis. How could it really work? The assessment of the BIS is that we have today something that works very well, that is fiat currency.
He goes, fiat currency works great. So the only thing digital currencies do is borrow value from fiat currency.
I'm the wrong person to ask about these things. I know fiat is just the value of the paper they're printed on. That's about it.
Ben Bernanke, our former Federal Reserve Chair, co-signed that statement. He said this.
Is that tax money that the Fed is spending?
It's not tax money. The banks have accounts with the Fed, much the same way that you have an account in a commercial bank. So to lend to a bank, we simply use the computer to mark up the size of the account that they have with the Fed. So it's much more akin, although not exactly the same, but it's much more akin to printing money than it is to borrowing.
So what's poverty? So they like to say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. They like to say, you know, work hard. They like to say, but these guys at the central banks who create all these false flags, they print more money when there's too much freedom of the locals to create a false flag to herd them to surveillance.
It's... when you look at the banks, you will see that it's more or less the head of the snake. It's the banking system that is used to control and is used to create so much slavery. But I would say that it's not the money that they, I mean, they can print however much money they want. That's not what they're interested in. They're interested in debt. It's through debt that they can control us. And so debt is the one that they're really going for, and how to create debt. And you have to ask yourself, when you look at the nations globally, I mean, everybody is in super much debt. So how is that possible? How can you borrow money from somebody who's already in debt? You cannot. But this debt is, and the money is created out of thin air. It's the biggest con operation of all times. It's unbelievable once you get into understanding the monetary system, how the whole thing is working, and how it's all based on how to control us, how to put us into financial slavery. Even the wordings like mortgage means mortage, that means death cage in French. You know, it's right in our face.
Jesus, I didn't know that. Ugh. How can we arm ourselves? How can we protect ourselves from state-sponsored false flags? How can we protect ourselves from the bankers, Ole?
It's a very good question, and I wish I had a good answer for it. The best, I would say, arming is not the way maybe to go, because violence is their language. They would love us to get violent, because that would just justify them going with much more muscles and weapons and martial law and whatever crap. What you can do is that if you look at how this whole system works, it's all based on fear. It's management by fear. It's only through fear that they can control us. So every time something happens that you think is fearful or scary, look into it and then ask yourself, question number one, is it true? Just like this terror attack here in Indonesia, I haven't even heard of it. I'm living here. You told me about it. Anyway, so question number one, is it true? Go there, look for yourself. I'm going to go to whatever cathedral that is non-existing here, I would suggest, but I'm going to go there and find out what the hell happened. So go there to find out, is it true? And then who benefits from you believing it? Who benefits from you getting scared? And then look at, it's based on an old Roman template called problem, reaction, solution. They, the human power, secretly create the problems to scare the living bejesus out of us so that we will accept their solutions. And their solutions every single time is the same. More and more control, more and more militarized police, more and more surveillance, more and more, less and less freedom for you, less and less money for you, less and less. It's actually problem reaction fascism is a more correct description of what they're doing. So by letting go of, by identifying, is it true or is it not, at least question it, then also see what happens if I don't get scared. They say boo and I don't get afraid. What then? That's the point, the tipping point, when you start seeing, oh my God, I can actually regain my power here if I don't let myself get manipulated. Turn off the TV. The TV is a super tool to keep you in fear mode. Fear mode or distraction mode. Cooking, whatever, gambling, wrestling, sports, whatever to keep you distracted or to keep you fearful. That's the main aim of this whole thing. And it's controlled by very few people. In the States, you're up to 96% or more. It's controlled by, I think it's less than six companies now. And they are in bed with each other as well. So who are they? Are they people that, you know, is it Jesus or is it Buddha, these type of individuals? Or are they, when you check them out, super criminals? I would suggest the last thing. So would you trust them? I don't think so. So they're using mainstream media to control you through your mind, how to get you. It's not called TV programs for nothing. Programming. They are programming you so that you will behave and be more easily controlled. So turn off these things that benefits them and then get out in nature, get, you know, into your community, get back with your friends, your family, regroup, start, you know, get off grid. Grow your own food, take care of each other, bring back the power, bring back the power. And don't all the time, you know, what is Biden doing there and Trump is doing that? You're giving your power away. Yeah, but what if that happened? What if this happened? Fear is only located in your head. It's not even real. And fear is always connected with something that has not yet happened. It's always connected to the future. So is there even a reason to be fearful? It's just a waste of time. Whatever happens, happens. So find ways of let go of fear through meditation or listen to music, hug a dog, hug a cup, whatever works for you. And then, you know, the next time something goes off, boom, instead of going straight into fear mode the way they want you to, so that you would just accept whatever crap they're offering you as a solution, say, hang on, I'm going to go for a walk, I'm going to go out, I'm going to breathe, I'm going to dance maybe a little bit, I'm going to shake around or shake, rattle and roll, whatever you want. And then I'm going to come back and look at this once again and see what are they actually trying to do with me through this whole thing. And I believe this is the way to inform yourself, also to inform yourself about your rights, inform yourself so that you can stand up against people in uniform and just say, thank you, but absolutely no way am I buying into this whole intimidation game. I know my rights, and don't you even try. You know, so as soon as they start seeing that, oh my God, here's somebody who knows what he's talking about, who maybe even in courtrooms knows what is going on in courtrooms, so that you know the whole thing is rigged against you. But there are ways how to get out of it, how to get the power back through common law, many different ways. So inform yourself, study, learn about freedom, and feel freedom, and then let go of fear, bring the power back to yourself and your family and your friends, and start caring about people. You know, they want divide and conquer, I say unite. They want to fear each other, fear thy neighbor. Absolutely not. Go out, hug each other. They want social distancing. I say, fuck you. I say, let's group hug. You know, they whatever they suggest, do the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Do the exact opposite, because they do not want you. They don't want the best for you. They want to destroy us. So I just say, absolutely no way it's going to happen on my shift if I have a say, and bring the power back home.
Well, it's beautiful. Get some sunshine. Don't stay inside quarantine, because that you need vitamin D for your immune system to function.
This whole lockdown, that's a prison term. It has nothing to do with medical terms at all.
Yeah.
And please, if you like Sam Tripoli and tinfoil hats, I'm in one show I describe exactly what I think was planned for the world, which was so much worse than actually happened. I think what we're experiencing is a pink and fluffy version, even though it's really horrible for many at the moment. But if you go in there, I go through the whole detail, and that will also show you that this is not a virus as the way we've been told, like just a disease. This is a global plan of control, of a takeover, global takeover. That is what they're trying. And this, I would suggest, is the end game, because they haven't got anything left. So many millions are becoming aware of who they are, what they're doing, what they've been up to over all of these years. So it's time is running out.
Thank you, Ole. The books are Shadow of Tears, Remind, Remaster Your Mind, Coup d'Etat in Slow Motion, Volume 1 and 2. The website is Light on Conspiracies. This is Highway Diary, Episode 296 with Ole Demigard. We had some technical difficulties. I'll try to cut them out of the audio, but I appreciate you. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you so much, Eric.
All right.